soccer department, you're desperate for some cash.
You think?
Yeah, and retroactive. None of us knew that. So that's like you're desperate to get some cash there. And when you're overspending our budget, you know, when I'm reading this Record Search article, it's talking about a budget being $300 million for the city of Reading. Now it's $428. I mean, we've gone up $130 million in the last, 5 years.
So is this an argument in favor of the sales tax increase?
So here's my issue on the sales tax. If you pass the sales tax, you fix our bad budget problem. You do not fix your amenity problem. So the people are saying, we want these amenities. We want you to fix our roads. We want our parks to be beautiful and functional. We want these things. We want the Civic to stay. We want, you know, we want all these amenities. We want more cops. We want more fire. We want all this stuff. And I'm saying, if you pass it, you're just fixing our budget problem, right? You are fixing my budget problem. You are not getting all these extra amenities.
Right.
You're getting the status quo. You're keeping all of those things open. And in order for them to be better, we're going to have to bond, which means we're going to have to take on debt. So if you're saying we want you to go into debt in order to give us those things, I think we just basically see ourselves in more trouble a little bit later.
Sounds like a cluster.
Well,
Just saying.
I work for you. So my job is to communicate your priorities, not the city's priorities. They overspent. They gave raises they could not afford. They confounded all of these numbers for ARPA funds, and they started, you know, projecting the cash reserve. So the council was unaware that no longer was it the actual cash that we had. It was a projection of cash. And so they made decisions in an environment where they were not given the cash reconciliation reports. They were not given the budget reports to actuals. They were not given master pay schedule for 2 years. They were not given the payroll register. So there was really just no place to go figure out, wait, is what you're saying accurate? And our personnel costs have gone up exponentially. Yes, is there inflation? But I'm sorry, wages have not increased by 35% since COVID. Okay, there's inflation, sure, and capital things, but those are different accounts. So when we're talking about the general fund, we're talking about, has inflation been 35% for personnel? I don't think so. I don't think you all in the private sector are getting paid 35% more than you were getting paid before COVID. That's
the people in the private sector individually make about a tenth of what the people who are not in the union make in the city of Reading. I think that, like everyone else, I think we just need to see the heads roll. I mean, that's all there is to it. I mean, and as far as police and fire, we love you guys. Maybe you can hang in there with us. You know, let's hang in as a community and get rid of all this.
Well, they're not doing anything wrong.
They're not doing anything wrong.
It's the people that are doing the wrong things, and that's where
we need to get rid of.
A forensic audit needs to be in place, because behind the forensic audit or with the forensic audit is the power of arrest.
Does that have to be instituted federally? I'm asking you that. Does that have to be instituted federally? Does that audit have to be instituted federally?
Well, I can tell you one of the federal audits that needs to happen, and that's for ARPA, because that's federal money. And so if you do a federal audit, forensic audit on ARPA, that has the teeth of the federal government.
I agree.
That has to happen.
That has to happen.
There you go.
Hey, we're 7 minutes over.
All right,
I want to make a motion that this show moves to 2-hour show.
On this one, we could have.
This one we could have. Anyway, thank you, Dave. Thank you, folks. Thank you, Tanessa.
Thank you, Tanessa.
And we're just going to have to do this again, maybe for 2 hours.
Yeah.
All right. But time is
we've already got 7 minutes on
the
second 2 hours.
7 minute credit.
Yeah.
That's it. Well, time has come.
For 51.
Let's get her done.
Yep.
Oh, what's going on with those dinners? But, you know, between you and Pompeo and the whole bunch of people, that's pretty amazing.
Well, you're very kind. You played a big part, as did a lot of my friends that we served with in Congress, you and Trey Gowdy, our dinners and, you know, the things that we talked about and the things that we did. I think, you know, for all of us, it led to the future opportunities that we've all been, that we've been blessed with. But, yeah, I never envisioned myself in Congress, much less, as the head of the intelligence community in the president's cabinet. So I'm as surprised as anyone, Jason.
Yeah, well, listen, I want to go back because let's go back to the way back. I want to go back to little John or Johnny Radcliffe, whatever they call you, when you were growing up. You were
Johnny,
born in Texas?
I was always Johnny.
Johnny?
Yeah,
so little Johnny, tell us, you know, kind of where were you growing up? What were you doing? Brothers, sisters, what was going on? Where were you born?
Yeah, you know, I'm very fortunate. you know, to have had that sort of idyllic, traditional family experience. I mean, you know, I had two, you know, fantastic, parents. You know, my dad, unfortunately, you know, passed away in 2005 at age 71, which is way too early. But, my mom is, will be 88 this November. And, but, you know, my parents were great. They had six kids. I was the youngest of six kids. And, you know, I grew up in Illinois. I was born and raised in Illinois. And, you know, I've been in Texas ever since, you know, went to undergrad at University of Notre Dame, but ended up at law school down at SMU. And that's how I became a Texan. And so, you know, I've been there, obviously, the vast majority of my life. And Texas is home. But now I grew up in Illinois and just had you know, again, very close with all of my brothers and sisters. I mean, so this weekend will be, you know, Easter weekend, and I think I'll have two of my sisters and two of my brothers. So I think five of the six of us will be with my mom for Easter. I think I have one sister that won't make it this trip. But anyway, obviously very close family that's always been supportive and, you know, a big part of, you know, who I became as a person and really, the opportunities that I've had, you know, throughout my life. And so just, I've been very fortunate on the, you know, on the family front.
Now, were you arguing around the kitchen table here? Because, you know, you actually, you're very polite, but you do know how to make an argument. And my guess is if you're the youngest of six, maybe you have to sit there and listen to all the arguments and then say, all right, now I get to weigh in and I get the benefit of having heard all the rambunctious yes, no's, this, that, and the other. Is that where that skill set came from?
I don't think so. I don't think I don't remember being that wise or judicious. Wasn't my temperament as a kid. There was a lot of fighting. You're right. But it was funny, you know, one of the things my dad said when I was little that struck with me, and he would say, you know, as he talked about his kids or whatever, and he would say, you know, John thinks like a lawyer, Johnny thinks like a lawyer. And I never knew really what that meant, but it sort of stuck in my mind that maybe I should be a lawyer. And I sort of, you know, I mean, I always wanted to be a professional baseball player or football player or, you know, those types of things. But in the back of my mind, I always, you know, that always stuck with me. And, you know, ultimately, you know, as I sort of got older, that's, you know, that's where I ended up in, you know, obviously going to law school. And that's really where I sort of honed that skill that.
Yeah. But why law school? Why law school? Come on. Like our son went to law school. Julie and I are, our son, we're proud of him, what he did. But you know, it really took his buddy getting him into debate. And once he was in debate, he like thrived. He loved it. He just dove right into it. And he loved policy. He, you know, you have to argue both sides. And then it really kind of lit a fire under him. I don't know what he'd be doing if not for that encouragement to go into debate. What was that moment for you when he said, yeah, dad thinks I think like an attorney, but hey, this is actually pretty exciting.
Yeah, I think, he planted the seed, but then, you know, sort of as I grew up and, you know, I went through school and I was always, I was fortunate. I just did well in school and you know, always sort of a voracious reader and just sort of, you know, focused on things like, you know, law, the thing, you know, my mind went to, you know, concepts of fairness and, you know, and even politics, you know, and being, you know, reading the Constitution and, you know, my favorite class in high school was government. And so it just sort of, it seemed to make sense. And the thing that made them, you know, like I said, I almost ruled everything else out and really thought I could picture myself arguing cases, you know, before the Supreme Court. And, I thought that was a noble thing to do to, you know, support and defend, you know, that concept, people and laws. And, you know, I'm fortunate, one of those people that it sort of played out the way I thought about it as a kid, you know, and, you know, cause obviously, as you know, my career took me there and, you know, and became a federal prosecutor and U.S. attorney and, you know, represented the United States long before I got to Congress. And I did hone that skill over the years and just, really, became good at taking either side of an argument and just enjoyed the process of doing that.
More Jason in the House next.
Greg is a real Prevagen user, and this is his story.
Hi, I'm Greg. I'm not an actor. I'm just a regular person. 8 years ago, I just didn't feel like I was on my game. I started taking Prevagen, and I want people to know that Prevagen has worked for me. Give it a try. I want it to help you just like it has helped me.
Prevagen, at stores everywhere without a prescription. This product is not intended to diagnose, treat, cure, or prevent any disease. Testimonialist was compensated for their time.
Life insurance. Why are you putting it off? Can't afford it? Too much hassle? Think you don't need it? There's lots of excuses for putting off life insurance. But if you weren't there, who would pay the mortgage and other bills? With Ethos, you could be covered in 10 minutes and boom, family protected. Ethos, fast and easy online term life insurance. Up to $2 million in coverage with no medical exam. Some policies as low as a dollar a day. Answer a few health questions and get your free quote at ethos.com/term. That's ethos.com/term.
I'm Ed Evans, CEO of Consumer Cellular. We're a different kind of wireless company dedicated to serving people 50 and up, like me. Because let's face it, our needs are different. Big wireless unlimited plans are designed for 20-somethings, not us. At Consumer Cellular, we're focused on one thing, bringing you affordable, reliable rate plans that suit your needs, not ours. How do we do that? We start by using the same towers as the big guys, the exact same towers. We then create rate plans designed for your usage. The fact is, we can offer you an unlimited plan with the same network quality for less because we understand how you use wireless services. Our plans start at just $20 a month. And forget trying to chat with robots. You'll get 100% U.S.-based award-winning customer service when you need help. Come find out how wireless should be and join the millions who've made the switch.
Call 1-888-FREEDOM or visit consumercellular.com/facts. Plans include $5 credit for auto paying, e-billing, C-Side for additional facts.
This is Fox News Talk.
Headline Rewind.
1991.
The liberation of Kuwait has begun. In conjunction with the forces of our coalition partners, the United States has moved under the code name Operation Desert Storm.
Kuwait is liberated. Iraq's army is defeated. Our military objectives are met.
I don't know too much about him, but I knew that people was complaining about his apartment smelling. You know, everybody smelled a funny odor, but nobody knew what it was.
This is high-tech lynching. I cannot shake off these accusations because they play to the worst stereotypes we have about black men in this country.
Because of the HIV virus that I have attained, I will have to retire from the Lakers today.
News as it happened then.
News as it happens now.
This is Fox News Talk.
The Dean's List with Janice Dean.
A 12-year-old who ran into a burning building to save his baby brothers and his grandma in Virginia makes today's Dean's List. Ramir Parker was upstairs with his grandmother when he heard a crackling noise on the first floor, and then he saw the smoke coming from the basement. Ramir yelled fire to alert his grandmother and ran to rescue his brothers who were sleeping on the couch. He then scooped them up and got them outside to safety, running back to get his grandmother. In just an instant, flames overtook their home. Thankfully, everyone was safe and unharmed thanks to Ramir's calm, quick thinking, and his bravery. To recognize this incredible rescue, his community honored him with a special proclamation, and the fire department named him an honorary firefighter with the promise that he's got a job if he wants it when he turns 18. When Ramir was asked why he ran into the fire, he said the only thing that mattered to him is his family. Janice Dean, Fox News.
I'm Ashley DeBorkin with a Fox Celebrity Profile with Tony Hale and Darcy Carden of the new family adventure sketch about a young girl expressing her feelings through her drawings, which mysteriously come to life. The stars spoke about early memories of being encouraged to express themselves through creativity.
There was like a drawing competition for like a Say No to Drugs campaign or something, and I won out of the whole school. I was 9 years old, and they gave me $30.
In the seventh grade, I moved to Tallahassee.
Tallahassee, Florida.
And so my parents were like, what do we do? And my friend Mimi had just joined this little theater, and I went, and I just immediately got the bug. And I was like, oh, I think these are my people.
The film speaks to both the kids and grown-ups in the audience, which was a big goal of theirs.
We wanted that shared family experience where the jokes are tight, it's mixed with these really kind of deep themes, but it's also a fun family adventure eye candy of a movie that the kids will love.
Ashley Dvorkin, Fox News.
It's Jason in the house.
Let's be honest, your high school government teacher, did they really know what the government was about now that you've been in the government? No, and I said,
no.
Go ahead.
So it's funny, though. I will say this. I have this little badge in my desk. In fact, while I'm talking to you, I can pull it out. When I graduated high school, my high school graduation, my teacher handed me an envelope, and inside that envelope was a little button that he had made, and it said, and I'm holding it, says John Ratcliffe for Congress. So he, you know, and I thought, what the heck really? Is this? But he obviously thought that I had a set of abilities that might lead me to that, and you know, maybe he's the one that planted the seed that you know that took me to where you and I became friends. But I was actually fortunate. You know, Jason, both of my parents were teachers, so I have such great respect for teachers and education, which makes it makes it hard to see a lot of what's happening today with teachers in the educational system and the things that have happened and, the things that I see happening.
So you're going to high school and now it comes to the decision. Hey, going to college. Why Notre Dame? And what did you study there?
Yeah. So, I grew up in Illinois and so, and I'm Catholic. And so, a lot of your listeners, who are, of our generation, TV wasn't quite the same back in the day. I mean, the big thing was what did Notre Dame football do on Saturday? I grew up with listening to Notre Dame football and everyone in Illinois. That was one of the things that you saw. So I just always heard such great things about the school and, never knew if I could get in there or not, but I applied and was fortunate to be accepted. And so, it was a great experience for me, but that's how I ended up there.
And what'd you study?
Government and international studies.
Two worthless degrees. Yeah. If you don't actually go to government, but you actually did. So that's good. I got to ask you though, because you and I have gotten to know and bump into and spend some time break bread with Lou Holtz along the way. So with him being the Notre Dame coach, that had to be a little surreal, right? I mean, that guy is a national treasure.
Oh, absolutely. One of the great, great human beings. And, one of the things that, has been rewarding is I made the recommendation to former President Trump to award Coach Holtz the Presidential Medal of Freedom because he's a great American and he was he did receive that honor so it was great to be a part of that. But it was funny because I never dreamed that I would even know Lou Holtz and now we have become because of the opportunities that I had in Congress and then later in the administration, he and I have become good friends, which is surreal because he really is a great human being. And actually, he and I have had this discussion. He actually in many ways had an influence on my life as well. I mean, one of the things that sort of directed me, Jason, was as I look back, I got into, wanting to have a big life and I got into reading, different people like Tony Robbins and, but even Lou Holtz. And one of the things that Lou Holtz, as a motivational speaker, he talked about, having a list of, 97 things that he wanted to accomplish in his life, things like land on an aircraft carrier and, just the things that seem so far fetched. And, you know, long before I knew him, that was one of the things that, that I adopted, you know, putting together a list, and every year I still do that. And so he and I talk about that as, you know, it's funny how life works out, but he had an influence on me long before I ever had the chance to know him. And, yeah.
So you go to Notre Dame, you graduate, then you say, oh yeah, law school, that's the thing for me. So you apply, you go to SMU. And
Methodist University in Dallas. Yep.
Yeah. And you've pretty much been in Dallas ever since, right?
Yeah. Texas is home. I just got to tell you, from the minute that I got here, I really wanted to see a different part of the country. And I had been accepted in different schools, UCLA out in California. I had applied to different places around the country. But I visited Texas and just really fell in love. And I can't ever imagine living anyplace else. I mean, obviously, I spend time in Washington, D.C., and Texas, I think, will always be home for us, and, you know, my family's here, and my kids are native Texans, and it's just been, you know, now having had the opportunity to represent the people of Texas in Congress, Texas is just, just a fantastic place.
But somehow, some way along the way, explain to me the relationship you have with John Ashcroft, the former attorney general, right? Former senator, former governor, too. He did all of the above,
yeah,
I think.
All of the above. And one.
Why
of
was he really spending nice time with you?
Yeah. So, you know, again, funny how, life works out. I didn't know, John Ashcroft, but, one of the events in my life, Jason, that I look back and how things changed for me professionally. You know, I was a lawyer for a number of years, but, after 9/11, and we all remember where we were and whatever, but I was a successful practicing lawyer. I was a partner in a law firm in downtown Dallas and the skyscraper that, looked a lot like the buildings that were hit in New York City. And I just remember at that point in time thinking, I've had great financial success and I'm doing well, but I felt a tinge of guilt. I never served in the military it's just sort of a strange, I thought, well, how can I serve at the age that I am and what can I do? And, in the aftermath of 9/11, the Department of Justice created a terrorism prosecution, unit and focused on the prevention of terrorism as a priority of the Department of Justice. And I thought, oh, this might be, crazy, but I'm gonna go try and do that. And I was fortunate enough to be appointed to that position as the chief of anti-terrorism for the federal district where I lived, and then that gave me the opportunity, to become the United States Attorney, and of course the Attorney General at that time was John Ashcroft, and so he, as time went by, when he left, and started a law firm at the end of the Bush administration, he called me up and said, "Hey, I'd love to practice law with you and have you had my Dallas office." And so, we became friends and he was a mentor and really was the person that encouraged me to run for Congress. But, so fortunate to, and John Ashcroft, I still talk to General Ashcroft, as I call him, probably every week or two, get his advice. We talk about things that are happening in the world and in our families, and it's just become, an important part of my life.
So let's go back there for a second. You're practicing law. What kind of law were you practicing? Because I would suspect a number of people put in for that, but why do you think they appointed you as opposed to everybody else? It's not like your dad made exorbitant campaign contributions and you bought your way in. So how did this all happen?
Well, that, Jason, it was sort of crazy because, people thought I was, a lot of people thought, what this deal? He's lost his mind. I mean, I was making multiples of what I would make as a probably a GS-15, assistant, United States attorney and terrorism prosecutor. And, and I think I got it in part because there was probably a level of surprise that someone with my experience you know, I'd been a practicing lawyer for, gosh, 12 years at that point in time. And like I said, was a partner in a law firm, and I'd done just sort of what's a general civil practice. I was a litigator, a very successful, you know, courtroom lawyer. And, you know, and I think I had a set of skills that would have applied. And, you know, and you I was fortunate that, that I was selected to do that.
You're listening to Jason in the House. We'll be right back.
Looking for work? O2 Employment Services has been working with local job seekers for the past 20 years. If you're tired of uploading your resume and getting no response, it's time to let O2 help you find that perfect position. Oh, and by the way, you pay absolutely nothing for our service. If you'd like our help, head on over to our website at o2es.com, click apply now, and complete our online application. We have connections with over 600 local businesses. Once we have your information and understand what you're looking for, we can introduce you to all the positions you may wish to consider. We currently have over 100 available positions, and we would love to match you with the one you're looking for. O2 Employment Services, the North State's leading staffing agency. Give us a call at 530-223-4674. That's 530-223-4674. Or visit us online at o2es.com.
When the North State weather takes its toll on your roof, trust the experts who know the best. Hunter Roofing has been protecting homes and businesses throughout the North Valley for over 70 years. Our certified team delivers quality workmanship using premium materials built to withstand our hot summers and wet winters. Free estimates, competitive pricing, and a commitment to excellence that's made us Redding's most trusted roofing company. Continuing our legacy of craftsmanship and reliability, Hunter Roofing. Call us at 530-999-5622. 530-999-5622.
Every day, your life is filled with choices. And when a health crisis happens, you need to be prepared to choose the best healthcare partner. That's when Shasta Regional Medical Center is there to answer the call above the rest. Ranked best in Reading and in the nation for patient safety and clinical excellence, you can be confident that when you choose Shasta, you are choosing superior care, safety, and excellence for you and your family. Choose Shasta at ShastaRegional.com.
Hi there. It's a sunny reminder from Alliance Heating and Air. Thinking about going solar? Now's the time to act. The 30% federal solar tax credit may be ending December 31st, 2025. But if you install your system soon, you could still save an average of up to $12,700. Don't wait. Call Alliance Heating and Air at 530-221-2642 to lock in your savings. We make it simple. We make it smart. And that's why everybody calls us.
Everybody calls us.
At Stifel Nicolaus, I am committed to offering investors personalized investment guidance. Stifel is a full-service organization with departments staffed with professionals that specialize in a wide range of investment opportunities. We strive to give each account, regardless of size, careful individual attention. This is financial advisor Susan Eastman at 530-244-7199. Let's talk today about a personalized plan. Again, that number, 530-244-7199.
Medicare drug plans change every year, and 2026 is no exception. Premiums may rise, deductibles can change, and sometimes plans even leave or close. HICAP is here to help you review your coverage. Services are always free. Call HICAP today at 530-223-0999. That's 530-223-0999. Health Insurance Counseling Advocacy Program, HICAP. Helping you stay informed, protected, and covered. This program is supported by the Administration for Community Living, ACL, U.S. Department of Health and Human Services, HHS, as part of a financial assistance award totaling $341,698 with 100% funding by ACL, HHS. The contents are those of the authors and do not necessarily represent the official views of nor the endorsement by ACL, HHS, or the U.S. government.
Hi, this is Sue McClain from the Sue McClain NewsHour on KCNR, and I want to talk about Kevin Wall Allstate Insurance at 2861 Cherry Creek Road, Suite B. A few years ago, my daughter was in a car crash, and I remember thanking God she was okay, but the car wasn't. So I called Kevin Wall at 530-222-2306. They walked me through the process and made it so much easier. So if you're looking for insurance for your auto, home, life, or business, call 530-222-2306. Kevin Wall Allstate Insurance, a proud sponsor of the Reading Colt 45.
Ready to turn your dreams into reality? At Simpson University, we offer a private Christian education that enriches your academic journey with faith and purpose. Whether you're pursuing your undergraduate degree, completing your degree, or advancing through graduate studies, our dynamic programs, personalized mentorship, and vibrant community are here to support you. Discover how Simpson University can help you achieve your goals and grow spiritually. Visit simpsonu.edu today to learn more. Simpson University, where your potential is limitless.
This is Jason in the house.
What was the conversation like where you woke up one morning and said, you know, honey, I think I should run for Congress? Like, how did that go down?
Because of the work that I was doing for the government, that was so much, I was making way less money than I had in private practice, but it was so much more rewarding. I mean, there's something to be, you know, one of the great things about being a federal prosecutor standing up in a courtroom and saying, Your Honor, I'm John Ratcliffe. I'm here representing the United States of America. And, you know, I always felt like I was the good guy. I was the guy in the white hat, and that I was, you know, helping our country by prosecuting really bad people. And I know that not everyone sees federal prosecutors that way. And I hate what's happening, you know, recently, and, you know, some of the things that are, that, you know, you and I, you know, even in Congress dealt with in terms of people that have abused the sort of the sanctity of our system of American jurisprudence and made it political. But when I was doing it, it gave me a sense of satisfaction and purpose. And I just, again, just felt like, well, maybe I could take it to the next level, and the opportunity to represent, you know, nearly a million people, in a congressional district, at the center of, you know, our great American government. And so, yeah, you know, you met my wife, Michelle, and, she probably thought I was crazy. And particularly given, as you know, the circumstances in which I ran. But, you know, she was.
Yeah,
entirely.
You and I did what we're not supposed to do, and that is run against an incumbent Republican. We ate kind of one of our own to get there. But, you know, they're open seats at that point. That's what our Constitution has. And I don't know, maybe I sound a little defensive saying, well, yeah, I mean, so it's not that person's seat in perpetuity. That's not the way the system works.
Yeah, well, I mean, we both challenged the system in a way and presented a vision to, you know, the people that we, you know, that we, you know, live in those communities. And obviously, you know, they made the choice. You and I mean, everyone has a great story. You know, most people do in terms of how they got to Congress. You and I often joke about mine because, you know, you served with, you know, my predecessor, you know, a wonderful guy named Ralph Hall. But, you know, I was not supposed to win that race, as you know. And, you know, again, that's part of, you know, why I feel so blessed and fortunate, because I was, you know, didn't really have much of a chance. He was, as you know, a legend in Texas politics, and it took a lot of, you know, but that's where strategy comes into play, you know, I definitely had a plan and was fortunate that things worked out.
And there was another guy who also did something similar, and that was Trey Gowdy. Now, you must have, did you cringe? What's the right word when you first met Trey Gowdy? What's the right way to describe that meeting?
So, as you know, you and Trey at the time were serving with Congressman Ralph Hall, and Trey went so far as to endorse and support.
Yeah, he did, didn't he? Oh, I totally forgot about that. Yes, he endorsed your opponent. Yeah, that's awkward.
Well, it was, because I thought, you know, at the time, you know, from a distance, you know, Trey Gowdy was, you know, just leading the charge along with you and others in Congress, you know, against so many of the injustices that were there. But he, of course, had my background as a, you know, as a lawyer and a prosecutor. And so I thought so highly of him. So, yeah, you know, the day that, you know, I heard a robocall from Trey Gowdy talking about, you know, how great my opponent was and how that people should vote for him. When I later met Trey, you know, I went from, oh, here's a guy who I've been idolizing, and, you know, yet he campaigned against me. But, you know, we laugh about that because, as you know, he's become, you know, he's one of our closest friends, you know, yours and mine, both. And we talk frequently. But it's funny how life works out. His endorsement apparently didn't mean much because I ended up winning the race.
Which we'd love to remind Trey of on a regular basis. It is the official viewpoint of the Jason in the House podcast that any opportunity to rip on the integrity and the intentions of Trey Gowdy is full game. And I take every advantage and opportunity to do so. And I'm losing this fight because he does this more to me than I do to him. So just so we can keep score along the way. And we do that out of love and affection because he really is one of the funniest, wittiest guys to sit there. And on that, you know, we were more junior on the Judiciary Committee because you two guys were sitting together, and then we had a person, Dan Marino, in between us, and then I was there, and I can't believe we didn't get in a little bit more trouble there because some of the laughs we had along the way were pretty funny, and you know, live microphones and whatnot. But yeah, it was a good time.
We had good times, but we did good work, Jason. I look back and think about you know all the things that you know, between the laughs that were serious, that where I really felt like we moved the needle in a lot of respects, and obviously we're still fighting a lot of the same issues today, but the things that we were able to highlight and argue about in a very public way, and some of the witnesses that we were challenging, and some of the things that we were doing, and of course you were, you know, chairman of oversight, you know, and had that, you know that platform as well, but I think, you know, we had a good time, but we did important work.
You made the transition, though, because, look, you had the unique opportunity, the background, having been a prosecutor, particularly on the terrorism issues. And then, Donald Trump's the president of the United States. And then tell us about the transition that you went through to become the director of national intelligence. And everybody should understand, the entire intelligence community has to have a focal point, and that is the DNI, as they refer to them. What's that like? How did that transition come into place? And then on a daily basis, give us just a preview, just a sense of what that's like in the interaction with the president.
Sure. Well, I didn't know President Trump. I was not someone that was, you know, spending time at the White House when he, you know, became president. And I just sort of focused on things that you and I were doing on judiciary. But, we were in a lot of televised hearings and we were questioning a lot of witnesses. And, I had heard through different folks that the president, you know, liked the way that I, went after certain witnesses and questioned them. And when I finally met him, he expressed that to me personally and just said, I just really, you know, think you do a great job. And, he said, I'd love to find a way to get you in the administration. And so we had lunch and talked about different positions. And he said, well, I'm planning to make a move. And, you know, as you know, Jason, I was also, in addition to being on the Judiciary Committee and having a background as a terrorism prosecutor, I was also on the Intelligence Committee. And so we had that discussion, you know, and he offered me the position. And so, you know, but as you also recall, Jason, you know, I my path to becoming DNI really wasn't, you know, prepared for the way the Democrats were going to come after me. And I wasn't really prepared for that. And as you know, I withdrew my name initially. But then really, I mean, in one of the more rewarding, you know, things in my life, I, you know, the president said, hey, I really need you to do this. And I said, okay. And so I took that on and was, you know, and was confirmed by the Senate. And the president always called me the comeback kid after that. But it was important. I knew what was at stake. And, you know, the director of national intelligence, you have the head of the intelligence, all intelligence agencies, including, you know, the CIA and the NSA and, you know, all components of our government that, you know, collect our most sensitive intelligence. But the other thing that you do as the DNI is not only coordinate all of that work of those agencies is you put together, you know, 365 days a year, what's called the President's Daily Brief, which is the collection of the, you know, most sensitive intelligence to brief not just the president, but his cabinet and our military leaders and policymakers even in Congress on, you know, what the threats to America are, you know, and then you deliver that on a daily basis and then several times a week, you know, in-person briefings with the president where he's able to ask about that intelligence. And so I spent a great deal of time, you know, when I was DNI, you know, with President Trump and, you know, Vice President Pence and, you know, the senior, you know, cabinet officials, you know, talking about the threats to America and really the opportunity to, you know, brief the president on those issues and be, you know, an integral part of the decisions that we made to keep America safe and the actions that we in deploying, you know, all of the aspects that we have at the Department of Defense to do that. It was just an incredibly rewarding experience.
More Jason in the House next.
Greg is a real Prevagen user, and this is his story.
Hi, I'm Greg. I'm not an actor. I'm just a regular person. 8 years ago, I just didn't feel like I was on my game. I started taking Prevagen, and I want people to know that Prevagen has worked for me. Give it a try. I want it to help you just like it has helped me.
Prevagen, at stores everywhere without a prescription. This product is not intended to diagnose, treat, cure, or prevent any disease. Testimonialist was compensated for their time.
Do you have over $10,000 in credit card debt? If you're feeling the financial impact with unprecedented economic challenges, DebtLew is here for you. With DebtLew's success guarantee, you pay nothing unless your debt is reduced or completely resolved.
I'm just living sky high right now. I'm very thankful for it, and the team at DebtLew are phenomenal. They're able to work with you. They're great.
Call for your free debt resolution information now. 800-200-6895. 800-200-6895.
I'm Ed Evans, CEO of Consumer Cellular. We're dedicated to serving people 50 and up, like me. Our needs are different. Big Wireless wants us in an unlimited plan, but if you're not using all that data, you're probably getting used. At Consumer Cellular, we're focused on affordable, reliable plans, including data that suits your needs, not ours. Our plans start at just $20, and you'll get the best customer service in the business.
Call 1-888-FREEDOM or visit consumercellular.com/fax. Plans include $5 credit for auto pay and e-billing. See site for additional facts.
Now that I'm a dad, I can't stop thinking about what would happen to my kids if something happened to me, like losing the house or not affording college.
Yeah, that used to keep me up at night, too. It's why I finally got life insurance from Ethos. It's 100% online. No medical exams, just a few health questions. I got $2 million in coverage for around $2 a day.
I never realized it was that simple. Get your free quote at ethos.com/policy. That's ethos.com/policy.
Rates may vary. Bill monthly. Sample rate 10-year term life policy for a 35-year-old healthy non-smoking male.
The Dean's List with Janice Dean.
A nonprofit called Kindness 911 is sweeping the nation with our men and women in blue, recognizing and celebrating small town heroes doing nice things. So if an officer spots someone doing something wonderful for someone else, like helping the elderly or brightening someone's day, they issue a kindness citation. With the help of social media, communities are seeing all sorts of sunshine spreading. Some of the stories out there include a grocery store worker who helped pay for someone's groceries, a coffee shop employee who greets customers every day with a smile, and a custodian who goes out of her way to take care of all the neglected plants around the school. Ed Richardson from the Spokane Police Department says he loves the program because it helps the department honor good people in the neighborhood. He says the uniform doesn't change who he is. He's always going to show compassion on the job. Well done, Kindness 911. You all made today's Dean's List. Janice Dean, Fox News.
This is House Call for Health. Smoke from Canadian wildfires recently causing air quality issues in the U.S. And while unrelated, recent research says there's strong evidence to connect air pollution to dementia. The research published by British scientists in an interdisciplinary journal on planetary health says there's a statistically significant link between dementia and long-term exposure to three different types of air pollutants: fine particulate matter, nitrogen dioxide, and soot that comes from vehicle exhaust and burning wood. The researchers also say as levels of exposure increase, the risk for dementia also rises. Fine particulate matters can increase the risk as much as 17%. Long-term nitrogen dioxide ups the risk by 3%, and soot raised dementia onset risk by 13%. The research was done after studying data from about 30 million people over four continents. For more health news, go to foxnewshealth.com. House call for health. I'm Lisa Brady, Fox News.
It's Jason in the House.
Yeah, and this is where I don't think Donald Trump, President Trump, gets enough credit, because he really did surround himself and his inner circle some very competent people. I mean, between you and Robert O'Brien as the National Security Advisor, that was a really top-notch team of people that you can have a lot of confidence in and that you know are going to do the right thing. They're just, you know, people of integrity, and I don't know, I slept better at night knowing that you and Robert and some of these other key people are in those positions.
We really, you're very kind to say that, but I do think, I mean, as you know, Robert O'Brien has become, he was always a good friend of yours, but he and I have become really good friends, in part because we've been through those fires together, and he was fabulous as National Security Advisor. Mike Pompeo was a terrific Secretary of State. I mean, we were, the decision-making, you know, the National Security team that President Trump had together, you know, really was outstanding, and you know, we did some, we did drastic things to keep our country safe that, you know, based on where we are now, I think people can see and appreciate that. I mean, removing, you know, the head of the Iranian terrorist network, you know, Qasem Soleimani, in a very public way, had a profound and deterrent effect on, and really allowed for peace in the Middle East and the Abraham Accord. Same thing with, you know, really the dismantling of the ISIS caliphate, culminating in, taking Abu Bakr al-Baghdadi out in a very public way. Those were strategic national security successes that, when you compare them to some of the things, that have happened more recently, like the debacle in Afghanistan and some of the things that, that we're currently facing in terms of threats, really show, you know, the importance of having good people, as the national security team. And I do think President Trump did a fantastic job with a lot of the personnel decisions in that regard.
As you look back, and you've been out of it a couple of years now, but you still get intelligence briefings along the way, as I understand it. But as you look at the world stage today, and you're just telling somebody, the average person who might be listening to the show, what are the biggest threats to the United States of America here in April of 2023?
Yeah, I do. I still serve, anytime the former president needs to and is entitled to an intelligence briefing, I would be his intelligence advisor. And as you know, after the recent spy balloon incident involving, a Chinese spy balloon flying across the country, I was briefed along with, former National Security Advisor O'Brien, and, Robert and I were briefed along with Mike Pompeo on that intelligence. So, yeah, I do still get, have my clearances and get intelligence briefings as required or necessary and appropriate. But the existential threats that our country faces, and I talked about this, it hasn't changed from the time I left. I did something, Jason, that no DNI had ever done and I was told was not supposed to do. I wrote a very public op-ed in the Wall Street Journal on my way out the door saying China's our number one national security threat and outlined the reasons why in an unclassified way. But it was very clear to me that, China is presenting a threat that the old Soviet Union far more, perilous to our country than the old Soviet Union ever, presented to us, because, the old Soviet Union, while, they had nuclear weapons, they were never embedded within our economy. They were never a strategic trading partner. And it was also easy to get a coalition of countries to confront the old Soviet Union because, likewise, countries around the world that stood for democracy were not dependent on the old Soviet Union. What's changed and what's so difficult now, Jason, is when we talk about the threat to China is, they are embedded within our economy. They're in the United States' number three trading partner behind, Canada and Mexico. And when it comes to building a coalition to take action against threats from China, other countries, our allies like, you know, Great Britain and France and traditional allies, you know, even Israel, they are trading partners and they are dependent on China for supply chain issues. And so that is, you know, that is the, you know, the threat, you know, from a nation state perspective that that challenges us more than anything. But an issue separate from just nation state is that, you know, the challenges of technology and emerging technology. And I think people can appreciate this. And, you know, the United States has been such a dominant superpower from a kinetic fire, you know, firepower standpoint. We've always had the strongest, you know, military and, you know, the best Navy and the best Air Force. And all of that's important. But, you know, with the onset of technology and the threats through cybersecurity, you know, other countries that can't compete with us from a kinetic firepower standpoint, you know, can still cause mayhem and destruction from half a world away in a few seconds and a few keystrokes. And so, you know, countries like even North Korea that can't compete with us, you know, again, from a kinetic fire standpoint, firepower standpoint, they pose great threats to us. Same thing with Iran, and of course, Russia and China. As well. And so, you know, our ability to defend our physical borders is one issue, but defending our digital borders is a threat that, you know, frankly, right, is right. Something that the United States is going to have to get better at if we want to remain a world superpower.
Well, we could talk for hours and hours about that. I'm just glad that you've been one of the key people embedded in that. And I do think whatever the next Republican administration is, that it'd be crazy not to have you helping to lead this this effort. But I appreciate that. Very last question. I really appreciate the generosity of your time, John. Best advice you ever got?
Essentially, go big or go home. I mean, I think life is... I term myself as a calculated risk taker. I mean, it's what gave me the opportunity to, you know, like we talked about, run for Congress in a race that I shouldn't have won, to become, you know, part of the president's cabinet. All of that was really, you know, different people said it to me different ways. You know, I remember my dad saying, you know, that, you know, you want to live a big life and have to go after your dreams. So again, people have said it different ways, but essentially go big or go home.
No, it's good. It's great advice. And listen, I know you didn't, like me, similarly, didn't serve in the military, didn't, you know, felt very almost just very blessed by those who had gone before us to create such opportunities. But your service, both in Congress, but certainly as the Director of National Intelligence, that is a crazy, hard, difficult, yet one of the most consequential and important jobs in the country, and appreciate your service there and your friendship. And I still got to work hard to, you know, try to keep up with you on the golf course, but I'm working on it. I'm working on it. You even had an injury, and I still couldn't catch up with you. So,
well, you're always welcome at come back to Dallas National and play another round, and hopefully you'll do that soon.
Yes, I would love to do that. And thanks for joining us on the podcast today. And thank you. Appreciate it.
You bet. Thank you for your friendship, Jason. Appreciate it.
Well, thanks so much for listening. I know it's, you know, the heat of the summer. It's all fun, but I hope you enjoyed that as much as I did. He's just, he's a good guy. You can tell he's got a big heart. He's also wicked smart and plays a pivotal role. Hope you can rate the podcast. You can subscribe to it so that it just shows up in your box. It's, you know, once a week, comes out on Mondays. And I want to also remind people you can listen ad-free with a Fox News Podcast Plus subscription on Apple Podcasts. And Amazon Prime members can listen to the show ad-free on the Amazon Music app. You can also head over to foxnewspodcast.com, Fox News Podcast, plural. .com for a whole list of some of my colleagues' podcasts. Hope you liked it. Hope you loved it. Hope you can rate it. And thanks so much for listening. I'm Jason Chaffetz. This has been Jason in the House.
Are you over 50? Would you like to get up to 33% more income in retirement? Then call now for this free book, Annuity Do's and Don'ts for Baby Boomers, from a leading financial firm on maximizing your income in retirement. That's right, free. This free book reveals little-known truths about annuities in simple-to-understand terms that will help you make the right choices before buying an annuity. And it's free. As a bonus, we'll also throw in a free annuity rate report summarizing the rates and benefits from financially strong insurers.
Call 800-715-9880.
That's right. Annuity Do's and Don'ts for Baby Boomers and Annuity Rate Report. Both absolutely free for calling today.
Call 800-715-9880. That's 800-715-9880.
Sponsored by Annuity General. Producers have the appropriate licenses for the products they offer. Increased income is possible using strategies suited to your goals and may require buying multiple annuities and holding them full term.
Alan Gordon, Coach Master Collision. She had minor damage to her rear bumper. I wrote her an estimate. Later, I received a call. The lady responsible for the damage wanted to pay for the repairs out of pocket. Her insurance agent told her a claim would raise her rates for years. With our experience in the claim process, I explained to her most insurance companies would forgive a claim if the cost was below a minimum amount. I suggested she contact her insurance agent and have them review her policy. She called back very excited. It appeared her policy did extend forgiveness. They would pay for the repairs and she wouldn't be charged with a claim or have to pay a deductible. The accident would not cost her a thing. She was very pleased. Good thing the vehicle owner came to the right place for repairs. We all pay a lot for insurance. Choosing Coachmaster will ensure you get the most for your money. Let this experience work for you. And yes, if we can't fix it, no one can.
Learn more online at CoachmasterAutobody.com.
The news from Town Hall is brought to you on KCNR Shasta Reading by Shasta Regional Medical Center. Your life, your health, your choice. Shasta Regional Medical Center.
Breaking news this hour from townhall.com. I'm Michael Herring. Former Congressman Pete Campbell says you can expect some big changes to California's election map if the majority Democrats get their way.
What you want to do is take where you have pockets of Republicans and divide them, so you break them up. And where you have pockets of Democrats, you divide them as well in order to move them to where there are pockets of Republicans and make the numbers work so you have majority Democrats in more and more places.
Campbell tells the Salem Radio Network Democrats hope to cut the number of GOP-held districts from 9 to as few as 3. Russia says Ukraine launched drone strikes that sparked a fire at a nuclear power plant in the Kursk region today as Ukraine marks its Independence Day. The blaze was quickly extinguished with no injuries, though a transformer was damaged. Radiation levels remain normal. The UN nuclear watchdog is calling for protection of all nuclear facilities in the combat zone. A new investigation reveals the risks of railroads policing their own bridges.
The Howard Center for Investigative Journalism at Arizona State University found railroads can withhold bridge inspection results from the public, unlike highway bridges, which are inspected by government agencies that publish findings online. Railroad bridges are inspected by railroads themselves. That means there is no public access to inspections and minimal federal oversight. This secrecy has contributed to missed warning signs, delayed repairs, and bridge collapse. John Scott reporting.
A group of Jewish organizations is urging America's colleges and universities to tackle anti-Semitism, even as students are beginning to return for the fall semester. The Anti-Defamation League and others have come up with some tips for schools on how they can make campuses more welcoming for their Jewish students. More on these stories at townhall.com.
Wesley Financial Group is not a law firm.
Hi, I'm Chuck McDowell, the timeshare cancellation guy. In 2011, I founded Wesley Financial Group with one goal in mind, to help honest folks out of their timeshares permanently. Today, I run Wesley with my two sons, a real family business, treating every client and every employee like we'd want our own family treated. That philosophy has helped us grow into the largest, most trusted timeshare cancellation company in the United States. Fortune magazine even recognized us as one of the best places to work. Why? Because we genuinely care. In fact, some of our former clients were so moved by their experience working with us, they joined our team so they could help others to timeshare freedom. If you're stuck in a timeshare, give us a call. Let our family help your family.
Call Wesley now for your free timeshare exit kit. 800-226-5454. That's 800-226-5454. 800-226-5454.
A judge in Mexico says Mexican boxer Julio Cesar Chavez Jr. will stand trial over alleged cartel ties, but can await that trial outside of detention. The boxer's lawyer confirmed the court announced additional measures and granted 3 months of additional investigation into the case. Chavez had been living in the U.S. for several years and was arrested in July by federal agents outside his L.A. home. He had overstayed his visa and lied on an application to obtain a green card. He was deported by the U.S. this month. Anti-Semitism is on the rise in Romania, where the Jewish population was devastated first by the Holocaust and then decades of communist rule. Alexander Florian of the Elie Wiesel National Institute for the Study of the Holocaust in Romania says, quote, "Anti-Semitism is exploding on social media here, Facebook, TikTok, Telegram, though less visible on traditional mass media. The COVID pandemic amplified conspiracy theories." News and analysis at townhall.com. Former Utah Congressman Jason Chaffetz has published a new book that lays out the threats of government data collection on everyday citizens. He says Democrats used such data for a program they called Voter ER to sign up voters when they were in the hospital and even in mental wards.
You can tell a lot about a patient if you have that information, and they literally gathered several million bits of information about patients while they're in the hospital. Your HIPAA laws. I mean, they literally did this to Democrats.
Chaffetz spoke to the Salem Radio Network about his new book, They're Coming for You. Today is Sunday, August the 24th, and a number of notable people are celebrating a birthday today, including WWE co-founder Vince McMahon. He's 80 years old today. Science fiction author Orson Scott Card turns 74. Actor and writer Stephen Fry is 68. More on these stories at townhall.com.
Ready to turn your dreams into reality? At Simpson University, we offer a private Christian education that enriches your academic journey with faith and purpose. Whether you're pursuing your undergraduate degree, completing your degree, or advancing through graduate studies, our dynamic programs, personalized mentorship, and vibrant community are here to support you. Discover how Simpson University can help you achieve your goals and grow spiritually. Visit simpsonu.edu today to learn more. Simpson University, where your potential is limitless.
This is Carl Bott. Join Linda and I Monday through Friday from 7 to 9 a.m. for Free Fire Radio. Find out what's happening in our town, our community, and our nation. That's Monday through Friday, 7 to 9 a.m. right here on KCNR, 96.5 FM and 1460 AM. Your talk radio. Miss a day, miss a lot.
News Podcasts presents the Brett Baer Podcast with Fox News Chief Political Anchor, Brett Baer.
Joining us here in the EPA headquarters building, EPA Administrator Lee Zeldin. Mr. Administrator, thanks for having us.
Great to be with you.
It's a great building.
Yes, sir.
You're treating this differently than many of your predecessors have. You've done a lot of things in a short time. What is your mandate here?
The American public elected President Trump to ensure that we were heeding their economic concerns, promoting consumer freedom, to help unleash a golden age of American prosperity. All these different agencies, including the EPA, have so many powers, equities that allow us to deliver on that Trump mandate. So for us here at EPA, our core mission is protecting human health and the environment. We want to power the great American comeback, which means, as President Trump has spoken about, clean air, land, and water for all Americans, but we can also help unleash energy dominance, make America the AI capital of the world, advance cooperative federalism, permitting reform, bringing back American auto jobs. These are also all demands that the American public voted for.
But you're cutting regulations. You are scaling back the broad kind of regulatory authority that this agency has historically had.
a lot of regulations in the Biden EPA 2023 and 2024 were essentially deciding between either protecting the environment or growing the economy. There's like a binary choice. If we want to protect the environment, we have to strangulate the economy. We need electric vehicle mandates. We need to put the coal industry out of existence. We need to get rid of all sorts of baseload power and ramp up intermittent sources of power like wind as if that's a substitute for baseload power. It was an approach to regulation that wasn't voted on all these times by Congress. Instead, it was bureaucrats at an agency deciding what was the best for America, and the American public revolted against that last November.
So let's talk about the EPA proposing to rescind the 2009 finding that greenhouse gases threaten to endanger public health and welfare. What is this endangerment finding, and how will rolling it back affect American families?
2009, the Obama EPA got quite creative in analyzing the Clean Air Act, specifically Section 202. They said that carbon dioxide, when mixed with a bunch of other well-mixed gases, greenhouse gases, some not even emitted from mobile sources, that it contributes to global climate change, not causes, they say contributes. They don't say how much, north of zero. And then they say global climate change endangers public health and welfare. There are so many mental leaps in there. Where do we get our authority from as an agency? We get it from statute. But if you actually read the law, it doesn't say so much of what these mental leaps were that created it. So what's the significance of the endangerment finding? Well, then they end up creating what amounts to trillions of dollars of regulation to move this country towards forcing people and car manufacturers to be putting electric vehicles on the streets. President Trump isn't against an American purchasing an electric vehicle, but if they want to go out and get a gas-powered vehicle, they should be allowed to.
So without national greenhouse gas standards, could businesses be exposed to lawsuits and kind of a patchwork of state regulations?
Well, for a long time, you had businesses that were forced to live under this regulatory scheme that kept getting worse. It wasn't just like a regulation came out in 2009 after the endangerment finding, and then that was it. They kept on piling more and more and more regulations that followed. Our proposal isn't just the rescission of the finding, but also all of the regulations that followed for light, medium, and heavy-duty vehicles. You know, here at the agency, we're heeding the American public that wants relief from diesel exhaust fluid systems. They want their gas cans to be able to pour more freely. They want us to be able to both respond to LA wildfires, help clean up the Tijuana River sewage, increase water quality in southeast Pennsylvania, all this that we're doing and much more. Superfund sites, brownfield sites, they know that we can protect the environment and grow the economy. We're the ones who choose both, and we're proud of it.
But you're ready to defend all of this in court. You expect lawsuits to be filed.
I realize that as the Minister of EPA, every decision I make, whether I say yes or no, that I'm going to get sued. But that's the position we signed up for. We're here to make the big decision.
So far, you've scaled back the reach of this place. You talk about saving a lot of money. What is that number?
Over $29 billion of grants have canceled.
$29 billion of grants.
Our operating budget annually is about $10 billion. We've canceled over $29 billion. $27 billion of it was the Greenhouse Gas Reduction Fund, part of the Inflation Reduction Act when President Biden had one-party control of Congress. And it was filled with self-dealing and conflicts of interest, unqualified recipients, reduced agency oversight, money going through pass-throughs, through pass-throughs, through pass-throughs, the dollar getting diluted. And if the argument is going to be made that a dollar should get spent to remediate environmental issue, then spend it on remediating an environmental issue. Instead, they're giving it to their friends, former Biden and Obama officials and Democratic donors. You know, President Trump talks about Stacey Abrams, this one linked NGO to her that received $2 billion.
Is that true?
Yes, in 2023.
And it was going out the door.
Yes, in 2023, that NGO received $100. In 2024, they got $2 billion from the Biden EPA. They had to complete training in their grant agreement, page 7, that says they have 90 days to complete training called How to Develop a Budget. Yet, in the first 21 days, they can start spending the money. Billions of dollars. Now, you could ask all sorts of great questions about where the money goes once it goes through pass-throughs. And deliberately, by design, I won't have answers to basic questions.
So this pass-throughs, I mean, you have to be almost an investigator to see the bank shots of where this money goes, right? I mean, that's part of what you're trying to find out. Have you been shocked by what you found?
Stunning. And in one case, for example, in the Solo for All program, a $7 billion program that's been canceled, we found examples where there were four pass-throughs and they're all getting a VIG. So it's not like the dollar goes from an appropriation of Congress to a dollar that gets used for some good reason on the back end. Think of how much that dollar gets diluted when you have four pass-throughs each taking their 15%+.
So for the people who look and hear this and say, oh, this is, you know, the fleecing of America, this is expanded government, and you guys are attacking it, they looked at Doge and said that was going to do it. And they haven't seen that yet. They haven't seen that develop, and all that was talked about really hasn't come to fruition. How do you deal with that criticism?
Well, at this agency where we've now canceled three times the size of our operating budget, we've been proudly implementing a zero tolerance policy for any waste and abuse. Working with Doge, on top of the $27 billion that I canceled for the Greenhouse Gas Reduction Fund, was over $2 billion of many hundreds of grants where
you're saying it's an ongoing process. I mean, it's not stopped.
No. And I want to be able to account for every single dollar that goes through this agency. That is my duty. Now, unfortunately, it's not a situation where unanimously members of Congress all want me to be able to account for every last dollar. There are members of Congress, when I was appearing before the Senate EPW committee, people like Senator Whitehouse or Senator Schiff or Senator Markey, insulted by the fact that we are digging deep and exposing all this corruption, all this waste and abuse. They should be outraged with me, and instead they're infuriated by the fact that we're doing something about it.
So for your colleagues who worked with you as a congressman up on Capitol Hill, Politico has this quote, from a pro-climate Republican to one of Trump disruptors. EPA Administrator Lee Zeldin's attacks on his agency's spending and regulations have made him a rising star in the Trump cabinet, but left some former colleagues mystified. Why would they be mystified? Have you changed?
I would say no, absolutely not. I would go back and look at the 100th day of President Trump's term in office. We released our top 100 environmental actions we took in those first 100 days. On President Trump's 200th day in office, the next top 100 environmental actions that we took. I just got back from Mexico City, where we signed an agreement with Mexico to have a permanent 100% solution to end the Tijuana River sewage. Earlier I was talking about what happened in L.A. That was the largest wildfire response in the history of this agency. And with President Trump's leadership and executive order, we got it done in under 30 days.
So you're saying you can protect the environment and protect the taxpayer dollars.
Hey, man, that's music to my ears, yes. That should be lyrics of a song. It's absolutely true. The American public demand it.
Mr. Administrator, we appreciate the time and the tour. We'll speak with you in a little bit.
Yes, sir.
More of the Brett Baer Show coming up. Greg is a real Prevagen user, and this is his story.
Hi, I'm Greg. I'm not an actor. I'm just a regular person. 8 years ago, I just didn't feel like I was on my game. I started taking Prevagen, and I want people to know that Prevagen has worked for me. Give it a try. I want it to help you just like it has helped me.
Prevagen, at stores everywhere without a prescription. This product is not intended to diagnose, treat, cure, or prevent any disease. Testimonialist was compensated for their time. The guru of gutter protection himself, Chris Cunahan, president of Leaf Filter, is here to take your most pressing leaf-related questions.
Hey, everybody. Chris here. I understand we have Ron on the line. Ron, where are you calling from?
Uh-oh. Ron, are you calling from a ladder?
Well, I was. I wanted to ask Chris what I need to do to get my gutters ready to have Leaf Filter installed.
Oh, Ron, you don't have to do anything. A Leaf Filter trusted pro will come out and clean out your gutters, realign and seal your gutters, and install Leaf Filter, America's number one gutter protection system.
So I didn't need to get on this ladder?
Ron, Leaf Filter trusted pros are in your neighborhood and ready to help. Just visit leaffilter.com/deal to schedule your free gutter inspection and get up to 30% off.
Thank goodness. What was that site?
That's leaffilter.com/deal for your free gutter inspection today. See representative for warranty details. Promotion is 20% off plus a 10% senior or military discount. One discount per household.
Life insurance. Why are you putting it off? Can't afford it? Too much hassle? Think you don't need it? There's lots of excuses for putting off life insurance. But if you weren't there, who would pay the mortgage and other bills? With Ethos, you could be covered in 10 minutes and boom, family protected. Ethos, fast and easy online term life insurance. Up to $2 million in coverage with no medical exam. Some policies as low as a dollar a day. Answer a few health questions and get your free quote at ethos.com/term. That's ethos.com/term.
I'm Ashley Dvorkin with a Fox Celebrity Profile with Tom Johnston and Michael McDonald of the Doobie Brothers. The band's new music, Walk This Road, is the first ever studio album with Johnston McDonald, Patrick Simmons, and John McPhee behind the mic. It's also the first time in 40 years McDonald has been part of a studio release with the group.
We really started out to just do an EP. But it turned into an album pretty quickly, you know, once we started writing and getting our pistons all firing in that direction. It was fun, I think, for all of us to get back into that feeling of collaboration.
They wanted this album to reflect every chapter of their career.
This is the first album we've really made a point of having all ears of the band on the same album. What you hear is everybody's individual styles come through.
Celebrating 55 years together, they say it's their fans who've kept them going.
They respond so loudly and positively at the shows. They're what makes it happen.
Ashley Dvorkin, Fox News.
This is Poll Parade with Fox News Director of Polling, Dana Blandon.
We've known for a while that voters generally dislike the new federal budget legislation, what President Trump calls the One Big Beautiful Bill. On our latest Fox News survey, we learned what items in particular make it unpopular. Topping the list, increasing the national debt limit. Most voters, 3/4, disapprove of that. 2/3 dislike reducing funding for food stamps, as well as making the 2017 tax cuts permanent for those with higher incomes. And over half are against increasing spending for immigrant detention centers and the border wall, and increasing work requirements for Medicaid. Of course, there are also things in the bill that voters like. The two most popular are removing taxes on tips and overtime pay and making the tax cuts permanent for those with lower incomes. About 7 in 10 approve of those elements. Make our website popular. Visit foxnews.com/poll. I'm Dana Blanton, and that's your Poll Parade.
This is Fox News Talk.
Headline Rewind, 1962.
Roger, the clock is operating. We're underway.
Simple question. Do you, Ambassador Zorin, deny that the USSR has placed and is placing medium and intermediate range missiles and sites in Cuba? Yes or no? Don't wait for the translation. Yes or no?
I am not in an American courtroom, sir, and therefore I do not wish to answer a question that is put to me in the fashion in which prosecutor does. In due course, sir, you will have your reply.
I'm prepared to wait for my answer until hell freezes over, if that's your decision.
You don't have Nixon to kick around anymore.
News as it happens. News as it happens.
This is Fox News Talk. The Bret Baier Show with Fox News chief political anchor, Bret Baier.
In the latest in a long series of negotiations, President Trump, President Zelensky, and a delegation of European leaders met at the White House to discuss a path forward towards peace in Ukraine. This, of course, after the meeting with Russian President Putin in Alaska. While no final decisions were made, both presidents expressed a desire to build a lasting peace in Ukraine and acknowledge that the next stage of negotiations will likely require a meeting, bilateral meeting between President Zelensky and Putin, and then a trilateral meeting, including President Trump.
I just spoke to President Putin indirectly, and we're going to have a phone call right after these meetings today. And we may or may not have a trilat. If we don't have a trilat, then the fighting continues. And if we do, we have a good chance. I think if we have a trilat, there's a good chance of maybe ending it. But he's He's expecting my call when we're finished with this meeting.
These discussions came just days after President Trump met with Russian President Vladimir Putin in Alaska to discuss the war, the first time the Russian president has set foot on American soil in almost a decade. Few details of what the two leaders discussed specifically have been released to the public, although President Trump suggested afterwards that some headway had been made. To discuss this and more, we bring in our panel. Political consultant and former senior counsel to President Trump, Kellyanne Conway. Former Democratic congressman, co-host of The Five, Harold Ford Jr., and Fox News senior White House correspondent, Jackie Heinrich. Jackie, day after the digestion of all that happened at the White House and then and all that happened in Alaska, what is the sense about the reality of maybe a meeting next step between Presidents Putin and Zelensky?
It certainly sounds like they're on their way toward that. There are a couple things that have to happen first, and it's a little unclear if we're looking at, you know, next week as a possibility or if it might be 2 weeks from now. But President Trump obviously wants us to move sooner rather than later. Zelensky needs security guarantees in order to sell any land concessions to his country and, you know, get support for that back home. He often raises the point that any territorial changes need to be subject to a national referendum that is in the Ukrainian constitution. And so in order to get support for whatever concessions they make, those security guarantees are going to be very important. President Trump said this morning that it won't involve U.S. boots on the ground, but it could involve air support. There is a willingness from European countries to put their boots on the ground as part of a peacekeeping force. But there needs to be a lasting quality to whatever they put together. How they do that, whether that involves legislating it somehow, enshrining it in a treaty that can't be undone by a future president, we don't have too many details on that. I asked in the press briefing today, and the answer that I got was just that the president, Trump, is aware of the need for that, but we don't really have a lot of details on what that's going to look like. So as soon as that comes together, then I think we'll be looking at concrete next steps for a Putin-Zelensky bilateral meeting.
Harold, is there a sense of optimism or one that this is just going to hit the fan here, that Putin's going to be Putin and there isn't much hope here?
Well, I hope not. I hope that the president, both presidents, who I thought had a great meeting, a first meeting, and it appeared to be a meeting of the minds there in Alaska, and then obviously Team Europe meeting in the last 24 to 36 hours. It comes down to a couple of things. I think Jackie framed it very, very well. What is it that the sides are willing to give? That's the only way negotiation works. Now, your question presupposes that maybe this thing doesn't work at all. And we've heard the president say that, hey, maybe this is not going to go any. Our president say maybe this is not going to go anywhere because the concessions that that Putin would have to make. And it's important to note, he's made no concessions so far. He did come to Alaska, but he's made no concessions as it relates to Ukraine. In fact, he continues to bomb Ukraine. I think the question becomes, does this great effort by President Trump, if it does not yield immediately some sort of ceasefire or end the hostilities and an agreement long term, does this cause the president to do two things, escalate the sanctions or reimpose the sanctions and even escalate them against Russia? And is it, for that matter, to impose the sanctions not only against India, but maybe even against China and others who buy their oil? And then two, which may be an easier thing to do, to restart the weapons shipments to Ukraine that can be used for offensive purposes. It's important to know we've not given them an offensive weapon since President Trump has been in office. I think President Trump believed that was a bargaining chip for him. So I think we're going to rapidly get to that point. And the President Trump and President Zelensky clearly have made great efforts. And I think now the ball is in President Putin's court. It should not be lost on anyone. President Putin certainly gained some standing back home after the Alaska summit. But I'm sure President Trump anticipated that. And for those Democrats who want to be critical of President Trump for even inviting President Putin, I remind them that we as Democrats often remind others that you make peace with your enemies, not with your friends. And we've got to figure out a way to bring about some peace here with one of these parties, and that party being a recalcitrant Putin, in order to move forward. So I'm not discouraged today, Brent. I'm not as encouraged as I was 24 hours ago. But President Trump's a great deal maker, and I'm hoping that his abilities and his talents continue to surface and manifest themselves.
Yeah. Kellyanne, about the deal making, I mean, clearly President Trump is relishing this thought that he can be peacemaker in chief. He's done it a number of times. We've seen already India, Pakistan, and Congo, Rwanda. We've seen a number of different efforts, Armenia, Azerbaijan. And now this is a big one. He said it's the toughest one. He thought it was going to be easier, but he's relishing this moment.
To me, the big X factor now is the initial Zelensky-Putin meeting without President Trump or without a European leader there has a very high chance of blowing up. They are not friends. They are mortal enemies. One invaded the other's country, a sovereign nation, first time since World War II. We've seen that. But I think, we heard the conversation during the inauguration and during Davos, which was the same couple of days. I was at the Munich Security Conference with the American delegation, and the Europeans were so upset, Brett. This is terrible for Ukraine and Zelensky. He must have a seat at the table. Europe must be involved. And President Trump, I just want to make two quick points. He said a very clever thing. He listened to many Americans who say, I don't want there to be this endless amount of money for Ukraine. But President Trump said they need the Patriot weaponry. He made sure they got it, but NATO is paying for it. Number two, I don't want American boots on the ground. Neither does he. Europe wants to be involved. He's going to make sure there are security guarantees, perhaps under Article 5, but not with NATO membership. So he has this, you're talking about peacemaker, he has this deft ability to balance different interests and these competitive interests that seem that they could not be unified and they could not be bound. But so far, so good. I've got to echo what everybody has said here, though. We are cautiously optimistic. There's a long way to go. I think we're in a much better place than we were a week, a month, certainly a year, 3.5 years ago, to quote the Finnish president yesterday. But we are nowhere close to Putin stopping the killing. He continues to do it even as people are reaching for peace.
This is Fox News Talk.
Headline Rewind.
1982.
The death of John Belushi.
Our paramedics responded to a home in the Hollywood Hills. After a short time, had to pronounce the victim dead.
I came because I believe that the nuclear arms race has got to end for the sake of the world.
To be a part of the group of people that are supportive of what we are about, namely stopping the nuclear arms race.
Count number one, not guilty by reason of insanity. A look of wonder came to the faces of John Hinckley's parents. That's the count charging him with attempting to kill the President of the United States.
At the conclusion of tonight's game between the Giants and the Packers, all NFL training facilities will be struck.
I'm just very happy the patient is doing as well as he's doing right now.
It's very obvious that these caps were tampered with. It was not an accidental thing. It was not a product defect. It was willful and wanton.
News as it happens then. News as it happens now.
This is Fox News Talk.
Connect to Fox News Audio on the Fox News app. Listen to hear your favorite hosts like Brian Kilmeade, Jimmy Failla, and Guy Benson standing up for what's right live and via podcast. Just click listen, then swipe right and hear the latest news updates on your time. And scroll down to hear the latest podcasts from Fox News. And it's even easier to listen in the car with Apple CarPlay and Android Auto. Get programming alerts and notifications. Fox News Audio is on the Fox News app, the voices America trusts. Download it now.
It's time to take the quiz.
It's 5 questions in less than 5 minutes. We asked people on the streets of New York City to play along. Let's see how you do.
Including the pre-Super Bowl era, what NFL franchise has won the most NFL championships?
I'm going to say the Cowboys.
I guess I would say the Packers.
Take the quiz every day at thequiz.fox, then come back here to see how you did.
And thank you for taking the quiz.
Fox News Audio presents
My Son Jeffrey, the Dahmer Family Tapes. He was one of America's most notorious serial killers. Now, never before heard family recordings offer new insight into the mind of Jeffrey Dahmer.
This next conversation is between Jeff and I.
My Son Jeffrey, the Dahmer Family Tapes podcast.
Absolutely nothing is too great not to be forgiven. Right.
Listen and follow now at foxtruecrime.com. Every weekday, it's your go-to source for staying informed and entertained. The Fox News Primetime Highlights Podcast, offering a curated selection of the most impactful moments of the Ingram Angle, Jesse Waters Primetime, Hannity, and Gutfeld. Listen and follow now so you never miss a moment of the action-packed highlights from these must-watch Fox News Channel shows. Go to foxnewspodcasts.com or wherever you listen to podcasts. America's listening to Fox News.
Now, from the historical audio archives of Fox News Talk.
Democratic nominee and 42nd President of the United States, Bill Clinton, addressed the Democratic Convention in 1992 at Madison Square Garden in New York City.
Let it be our cause that we give this child a country that is coming together, not coming apart. A country of boundless hopes and endless dreams. A country that once again lifts its people and inspires the world. Let that be our cause, our commitment, and our new covenant. My fellow Americans, I end tonight where it all began for me. I still believe in a place called hope. God bless you, and God bless America.
Stay tuned to hear more history as it unfolds before your ears. It's the audio archives of Fox News Talk.
I'm Gianna Gelosi with your Fox True Crime Minute. An Australian woman who murdered three of her in-laws with a meal of toxic mushrooms also allegedly tried to murder her husband using poisoned pasta, a chicken curry, and a sandwich wrap for a year leading up to the fatal lunch. A judge on Friday lifted a gag order on pretrial evidence involving 50-year-old triple murderer Aaron Patterson. Part of that evidence was testimony from her husband, Simon, who had thought he was being poisoned on family camping trips between 2021 and 2022. One time, he says he even fell into a coma until part of his colon was removed. Patterson was initially charged with attempting to murder him, but those charges were later dropped. A jury last month, though, found Patterson lured her in-laws and another couple to their home in 2023 and poisoned their beef Wellingtons with death cap mushrooms. Three died, one survived. Simon was invited to that lunch, too, but declined the invite. Patterson will be sentenced later this month. There's more on this story at foxnews.com or subscribe to the Fox True Crime Podcast. I'm Gianna Gelosi with your Fox True Crime Minute.
The Brett Baer Show with Fox News chief political anchor Brett Baer.
Jackie, is what is really on the top of mind of the White House, you know, judging from this briefing today, obviously seeing this go forward, but at the same time, what else is driving the day?
Well, they're pretty hot on the D.C. crime situation. They have announced an investigation by the DOJ into the city, accusing them of manipulating the crime statistics and suggesting that the city is safer than it is. We'll see where that investigation goes, but they have been sort of relishing the battle that they have opened up with Democrats who are saying that crime isn't an issue, sort of positioning them on their back heel to argue against, to make a political argument that doesn't really work for them. And you've heard Democrats warn, that's a trap, it's a trap, because people, you know, do want to see the city cleaned up. There are no shortage of examples of heinous crimes committed in this city. And so they're sort of positioning themselves in a forward-leaning stance in order to advance what they want to do in terms of cracking down on crime and using all of the president's authorities to do that in D.C. specifically. That came up in the briefing. But I do think that the war in Ukraine and the president's ability to bring that to a conclusion is a very big priority for the president. You saw him gather all of these world leaders in a summit at the White House that was like a mini NATO, a scene that we really haven't seen before. And I think it's worth mentioning also that what he was able to do to sort of renew the relationship that he has with those member countries and with the NATO alliance itself, pressuring those countries to, you know, up their defense spending to meet not only the 2% mark that they were supposed to meet long ago, but to come up to 5%, vindicating him for, you know, his calls for that in the past in his first term, and now turning a page. It was something that I noticed was he's looking around the room and referring to all of his good European friends and calling them good leaders. And that's a new kind of position for the president to be in compared to his last term. So I think that it's not just that he wants to save lives, which I think is his primary purpose for engaging in this. I think that's a genuine claim that he makes all the time. But I think that he also now has a renewed relationship with his counterparts in Europe, and that's another dynamic of this as well.
Yeah. Harold, speaking about the D.C. Crackdown, you know, there's a lot of Democrats I've talked to, both on the record and off, who, you know, welcome efforts to crack down on crime in the nation's capital. Is there a sense that this has kind of, that Democrats have changed their thinking on this, is at least talking about it, and what this looks like?
Well, you know, I am a Democrat, and I'm a believer that if crime is happening any way around you, you want that crime to stop, and you want a force there to be able to do that. It is interesting to me as I listen to both sides, and one side is arguing something different than the other. I think some of the Democrats that are seem to have some opposition to what President Trump is doing in D.C. It's kind of twofold for them, and I think it's ignoring what should be the primary thing. But they're arguing that it's against D.C. residents should have their own. Should be treated like full citizens, which I do agree with. I think that's wrong that they're not, it's not a state. But two, that this takeover is unnecessary. Well, I think if you live in certain neighborhoods in Washington, you don't view it that way. You view it as an opportunity for crime to be driven down. Now, what I've also heard is that some of the highest neighborhoods with the highest incidences of crime are not seeing the National Guard there. I would hope, I don't know why that is not the case. I don't live in Washington any longer. I grew up in Washington from fourth grade to graduating high school, and had the honor to work there for 10 years. So I lived in one of those neighborhoods. I would want the National Guard there. I do find it interesting also that some of the governors, some governors across the country are sending their troops, sending National Guardsmen there. You know, in the state of Tennessee, where I'm from, the governor's sending it in, and I think the governor of Mississippi, I mean, you have crime in Jackson, Mississippi, and Memphis, Tennessee, and Nashville, Tennessee, which I'm sure they would love those troops there as well. Finally, Democrats need to be careful on this issue. 3 years ago, when many of us were sounding an alarm about all of the happenings at the border and the border crossings, the massive numbers of people coming across unaccounted for, and how this issue, if we didn't get our arms around it, would not only harm the country and present great dangers and threats for the country, but could present political threats for the party. This is one of those issues as well. If Democrats don't get a handle on not only a rhetorical handle, but a substantive handle. And as I've said many times, I don't understand why Democrats aren't offering a national crime bill. And frankly, I don't understand why President Trump won't offer one as well, because he can't do what he's doing in Washington and some of the other big cities around the country with the ease that he's doing. He's clearly sent the guard to Los Angeles to help with ICE detentions. But if you want to really deal with the gang problem in Chicago and Detroit and Memphis and other cities, pass a crime bill like Clinton did back in the mid-90s that frankly angered some Democrats because they thought it went too far. I'm one Democrat who happens to be an American first. We've got to reduce crime, and particularly violent crime, in the big communities across our country, that, for that matter, urban and rural.
The Brett Baer Show, coming up.
Greg is a real Prevagen user, and this is his story.
Hi, I'm Greg. I'm not an actor. I'm just a regular person. 8 years ago, I just didn't feel like I was on my game. I started taking Prevagen, and I want people to know that Prevagen has worked for me. Give it a try. I want it to help you just like it has helped me.
Prevagen, at stores everywhere without a prescription. This product is not intended to diagnose, treat, cure, or prevent any disease. Testimonialist was compensated for their time.
Now that I'm a dad, I can't stop thinking about what would happen to my kids if something happened to me, like losing the house or not affording college.
Yeah, that used to keep me up at night, too. It's why I finally got life insurance from Ethos. It's 100% online. No medical exams, just a few health questions. I got $2 million in coverage for around $2 a day.
I never realized it was that simple. Get your free quote at ethos.com/policy. That's ethos.com/policy.
Rates may vary. Bill monthly. Sample rate 10-year term life policy for a 35-year-old healthy non-smoking male.
I'm Ed Evans, CEO of Consumer Cellular. We're dedicated to serving people 50 and up, like me. Our needs are different. Big Wireless wants us in an unlimited plan, but if you're not using all that data, you're probably getting used. At Consumer Cellular, we're focused on affordable, reliable plans, including data that suits your needs, not ours. Our plans start at just $20, and you'll get the best customer service in the business.
Call 1-888-FREEDOM or visit consumercellular.com/fax. Plans include $5 credit for auto pay and e-billing. See site for additional facts.
Do you have over $10,000 in credit card debt? If you're feeling the financial impact with unprecedented economic challenges, DebtBlue is here for you. With DebtBlue's success guarantee, you pay nothing unless your debt is reduced or completely resolved.
I'm just living sky high right now. I'm very thankful for it, and the team at DebtBlue are phenomenal. They're able to work with you. They're great.
Call for your free debt resolution information now. 800-200-6895. 800-200-6895.
Stay on top of the latest forecast with America's Weather Team in the palm of your hands.
Here's the latest from America's Weather Center.
It's Fox Weather updates throughout your busy day, every day.
That heat's going to be out there for one more day.
Temperatures being 30 degrees above average.
Put the power of over 100 meteorologists and the worldwide resources of Fox in your hands with the Fox Weather Podcast. Precise, personal, powerful. Subscribe and listen now at foxnewspodcasts.com. Connect to Fox News Audio on the Fox News app. Listen to hear your favorite hosts like Brian Kilmeade, Jimmy Fallon, and Guy Benson standing up for what's right live and via podcast. Just click listen, then swipe right and hear the latest news updates on your time. And scroll down to hear the latest podcasts from Fox News. And it's even easier to listen in the car with Apple CarPlay and Android Auto. Get programming alerts and notifications. Fox News Audio is on the Fox News app, the voices America trusts. Download it now. From around the world,
Trey Yingst, joining us from Tel Aviv, Israel.
To Washington,
I'm Mike Emanuel.
To your own backyard. If a story impacts you or your wallet, we're on it. It's the Fox News Rundown. We give every story the deeper look it deserves with must-listen interviews and smart analysis from the voices you can trust. Start your day with the Fox News Rundown. Listen and follow now at foxnewsrundown.com or wherever you get your favorite podcasts. From the Fox News Podcasts Network.
Hey, this is Trey Gowdy, host of the Trey Gowdy Podcast. Every Tuesday, you'll hear what's on my mind. Plus, every Thursday, there's a special bonus episode where we answer the questions that are on your mind. Make sure to spend your Tuesdays and Thursdays with Trey. Subscribe now at foxnewspodcast.com or wherever you download podcasts. Hope to see you.
America's listening to Fox News.
The Brett Baer Show with Fox News chief political anchor Brett Baer.
You know, listen, this seems like a winning issue for the president, Kellyanne, but, you know, there are issues that he goes down that don't seem so winning, that maybe scratch an itch on the base, but raise a lot of attention. One of them is what he's posting about today, saying that the museums throughout Washington, but all over the country, are essentially the last remaining segment of woke. I've instructed my attorneys to go through museums and start the exact same process that has been done. This vetting process would include reviewing public-facing online content, the processes, the guidelines, exhibition planning and collection and use, according to a letter sent to the Smithsonian secretary. You know, there's people that look at that and say, of the things that we have to do, why is that, you know, agenda number one?
Well, as you know, I spent 5.5 unbroken years next to President Trump, and
right.
he
likes to do everything all at once. And that includes the like peace with peace. Hopefully we pray to God with Russia and Ukraine and certainly the Middle East after that, Brett. And then the things that are also on his to-do list, which always seem infinite. I don't know that it scratches an itch with the base. It certainly does that. But I think it's bigger for President Trump. This term, unlike last term, he's leaning all the way in to arts and culture. Those of us who worked with him really enjoyed our time at the Kennedy Center in the first term, but he never once did. He didn't step foot in the place, never enjoyed the president's box, did not go to the Kennedy Center honors all 4 years. Now, as we all saw last week, he is the most vested person in the entire affair and the entire building. So I think it's part of that. It's also that he is seeing. He saw it with the universities. He saw it with a lot of media outlets. Corporate America, certainly, all the acronyms. He's trying to replace all these acronyms, ESG, DEI, BLM, CRT, with USA. And what that means, Brett, is that the president has been shown by different people. Look what Harvard was saying. Look what Columbia was doing. Yes, there was anti-Semitism, but there was a lot of wokeness. Look what Company X has done. Look what Company Y has done. And now they're showing him, you're not going to believe what the Smithsonian did. I was told by somebody very high up in his administration recently that the Impressionism exhibit, which was wildly popular, as we can all appreciate, 500,000 visitors, that, you know, instead of extended, it got pushed out for a long-standing commitment to some artist, you know, woke artist that people really hadn't heard of. So when he hears examples like that, he says, you know what, we're just not going to do that for the next 4 years. And he wants part of his legacy to be that the way this government spends its money, because remember, these are taxpayer-funded entities you're talking about, the museums in Washington, the way the government spends its money educates and engages, inspires, maybe even unifies people, doesn't divide them and make them feel less than and prefer a certain ideology, and in this case, wokeism, over someone else's. I think it's important. Last thing I wanted to say, I live in Washington, D.C., the heart of it. I live in a very nice neighborhood. I raised my kids here. They were all born in Manhattan, but I got to Washington, D.C. when I was 18. I love the city. And I have to say that the people in those neighborhoods that are most affected by crime are not the ones protesting. I do hope they see the National Guard. I do hope they're getting relief that they seek. But they're not the ones protesting. We have a lot of rich, white, liberal people here being awful and worse, being rude and threatening to our law enforcement, to each other, always speaking on behalf of someone else who's not who they think they're doing a favor for. I'm really happy the president's doing this. I don't think he's doing it to distract or deflect. I think he's doing it because he can do it. And he knows that this country is going to celebrate his 250th birthday next year. And he wants us just to put on the dog for the whole world to see. He wants it to be a true celebration of life, liberty, the pursuit of happiness, not homeless in Kansas, not syringes, not the kind of things you see that you're still going to see in other major cities. So, and I appreciate the fact that it seems now the mayor and some others are playing ball with him to improve the quality of the city. Brett, you were in Alaska. You did a great interview with the president on the plane. I just wanted to say very quickly, the president skipped the lunch and skipped the questions at the press conference. To me, that was a tell. He participated in, what, four and a half minutes of the 12-minute brief press conference. He looks at him, and he knows that guy is a killer. And I don't want us to lose sight of that either. I think that's been a big turnaround for President Trump. Putin had not done this while President Trump was president. He inherits this war, comes into office, thinks maybe he can get reason with Putin early on, stop the killing, quote, in the first 24 hours. Yes, it was ambitious, but probably sometime before the first 7 or 8 months. And I think it's just a tell that this was transactional and not emotional, because the president, he goes, I think he's just been much more compassionate towards the lately and the plight of the Ukrainian people. And as freedom-loving Americans, we should all welcome that.
But back to the Smithsonian thing quickly, Jackie. I can hear the Democratic pushback. I can already hear it, that he's trying to erase, you know, history, or he's trying to change things, or this is authoritarian. I can kind of hear it already. I haven't even seen it yet, but I can hear it. The Smithsonian, he said, is out of control, where everything discussed is how horrible our country is, how bad slavery was, how unaccomplished the downtrodden have been. Nothing about success, nothing about brightness, nothing about the future. He doesn't have Kellyanne right now explaining this. She did a great job explaining where his mindset may be, but there will be pushback to this effort, right?
Yes. There's already been a New York Times opinion piece that was titled Censoring the Smithsonian and History. We can see where this is going. But the president, you know, if you pay attention to him, he doesn't pick fights that he doesn't think he can win. And so whether it's playing to the base or playing to people who do feel, as Kellyanne mentioned, that there has been a pendulum swing too much in one direction and there needs to be a correction to that, he obviously feels that he is warranted and well-positioned to do that. I had seen some reports a couple of weeks ago that I admittedly didn't look too closely into, that he was seeking to remove any references of his impeachment at the Smithsonian. That might be a different kind of debate if that is true. But, you know, he is showing time and time again in his second term that in the 4 years off, his lawyers and whoever has sort of put pieced together the plan for how they're going to use these next 4 years have really well researched the tools that he has to effectuate the changes that he wants to see. And they're doing that with everything, including Supreme Court cases. I mean, they want to sort of see the scope of the president's power in many ways. Not suggesting this is necessarily a piece of that, but that is sort of the broader stance that this administration is in the second term.
Yeah, you're right. You're right. I mean, the 4 years in between had kind of laid a blueprint for what they wanted to do, which is why we saw all those executive orders that flurry off the top. Last thing, Harold, you know, Democrats do have to be careful about that everything doesn't go to 11 as far as the pushback and the outrage meter and how they react. I mean, some things obviously they're passionate about and they push back hard, but other things over time, it seems like the president politically hits some sweet spot that crosses all lines.
Look, the politics will always be the politics, and Democrats have a history, as you mentioned, in recent times of swinging for every ball over the plate. I mean, whether it's in the strike zone or outside the strike zone, and the president knows that he can inflame Democrats with some of these issues. You know, the Smithsonian thing is really interesting to me because I don't understand why it would seem to me you want to bring people a little closer together. The president wants to bring his base together. He wants to bring MAGA together, but it doesn't seem as if he's that interested all the time in bringing people together. There was a part of the whole Smithsonian thing. The president objected to something with Jackie Robinson, who was a lieutenant. In addition to being the first black person to be admitted to Major League Baseball, before that, he was a lieutenant in the Army, and he was essentially demoted in the Army and not allowed to fight in the war because he refused to sit in the back of the bus after an officer's dinner. And he was an officer, and he was talking with an officer's wife, and they asked him to sit in the back of the bus. He said, "No, I'm an officer. I'm going to sit in the front." And as a result, he was impacted. The president didn't like the story. I don't even know if the president realized that Lieutenant Jackie Robinson was Jackie Robinson. But these are the kinds of things. I just don't understand why. I understand everything Kellyanne said, and Kellyanne and I are old friends, and I agree with her. He does like to do everything at once. But it just seems like we have so much on our plate. And he has such, I think, incredible support from all walks of American life, political life and all, as it relates to trying to bring some sort of lasting end to this war between what Russia invading Ukraine has prompted. And I might add, Kellyanne, I'm so glad the president sees Putin for whom Putin is. There have been many people who tried to tell him that this guy's nothing more than a thug with designs to make Europe, or should say make the Soviet, make Russia look like the Soviet Union did back in the 80s and the 90s. But I'm pleased where the president is now, and I'm rooting for him. I just wish he would spend his time, more of his time there, than looking back and trying to rewrite things that, frankly, I don't even know where the clamoring is for it. But I hope it doesn't go too far, because I agree with everyone in this regard. We're about to celebrate one of the great, great birthdays for the most important experiment the world's ever known. And I hope that birthday celebration invites and involves all Americans, including me, who want to say not only happy birthday, but what do we do to make another 250 years a reality?
Yeah, it's true. It's going to be a big event. There's going to be a lot of different elements to it. And just talking about this developing today is one of the things I was hoping to do. Panel, thanks so much. Now for a bit of history. August 21st, 1959, President Dwight D. Eisenhower issued a proclamation 3309, officially declaring Hawaii the 50th state of the United States. This followed the passage of the Hawaii Admission Act in March and strong public vote in favor of statehood in June. The proclamation confirmed that all legal requirements had been met, and with the President, President Eisenhower's signature, Hawaii formally joined the Union, marking the final and most recent addition to the United States of America. That'll do it for this week. You can hear more of this series at foxnewspodcast.com or wherever you download podcasts. Make sure to leave a rating and a review. We want to hear from you. For Kellyanne, Harold, and Jackie, I'm Brett Baer. We'll see you next time.
Trade wars, rising costs, global chaos, and a skyrocketing national debt. It's no wonder gold keeps hitting record highs. With everything going on in the world, thousands of hardworking Americans are looking to help diversify their savings with precious metals like gold and silver. And they're turning to the top-rated gold company, Goldco. Right now, Goldco is offering you a free 2025 gold and silver kit. Plus, you could get an unlimited instant match and bonus silver if you qualify. Find out how you can diversify your savings tax and penalty-free today. Call 855-969-GOLD. That's 855-969-GOLD.
Performance may vary. You should always consult your financial and tax professional.
I'm Ed Evans, CEO of Consumer Cellular. We're dedicated to serving people 50 and up, like me. Our needs are different. Big Wireless wants us in an unlimited plan, but if you're not using all that data, you're probably getting used. At Consumer Cellular, we're focused on affordable, reliable plans, including data that suits your needs, not ours. Our plans start at just $20, and you'll get the best customer service in the business.
Call 1-888-FREEDOM or visit consumercellular.com/facts. Plans include $5 credit for auto pay and e-billing. See site for additional facts.
Most everyone knows that Orchard Nutrition Center has a big selection of vitamins and supplements, a fresh bakery and deli, organic groceries, and certified organic produce from Shasta County and surrounding areas. What I know is, my mom loves shopping at Orchard Nutrition Center. Her motto, you are what you eat. If you eat healthy, you'll be healthy. She says that all the time. Personally, I believe her. As a kid, I like things that are sweet. So when she comes home with farm-fresh local fruit, trust me, it's sweet. Mom loves all the local veggies. And Dad, he likes meat. Orchard carries locally grown, 100% grass-fed beef. So guess what? Dad's even eating healthy, and he doesn't even know it. If you haven't been to Orchard Nutrition, you owe it to yourself and the ones you love. Just remember what my mom says. You are what you eat. If you eat healthy, you'll be healthy. It all starts at Orchard Nutrition Center in the Cypress Square Shopping Center. Open 7 a.m. to 9 p.m., 7 days a week.
The news from Town Hall is brought to you on KCNR Shasta Reading by Shasta Regional Medical Center. Your life, your health, your choice. Shasta Regional Medical Center.